Welcome to Meditative Service tonight. I'm Becky Zatazzello. So nice of y'all to join us. Well, let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everyone that's here, Lord, that's taking time out during busy schedules to just come spend time with you during our Lent season. Be with each one of us tonight, Lord, because you know what we need most. Open up our ears, our minds, and our hearts to what you have for us tonight. In your son's name, amen. And I'm probably surprising you, like, why am I doing a message first? But I just want to throw you a curveball. We're going to do the message now because we're going to set up something for y'all to do while you're in your silent time. And so we're just moving it from the back to the front. Did everyone get one of these pages? Okay, if you didn't, they're on the stand over there. They'll come into play in just a minute. Okay, so we're shifting the message because our Lent church-wide study is on the prayers of Jesus. And this week we're actually discussing the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Hannah spoke about it during the worship service yesterday. And for me, it's really, really easy to let this prayer just become rote words babbling out of my mouth and without holding any meaning to me whatsoever. They just spill out. I can literally say the prayer and not even be in the present moment while it's coming out. And I'm pretty sure that's not what Jesus had in mind when he taught us those words to pray. So while I was gathering the input for the church-wide study for the small groups to use, I came across this really nifty resource by a woman named Lori Shoemaker. She actually does like prayer walks, which is kind of cool. And she divides the Lord's Prayer up into five elements and includes questions to journal while you're looking at each segment. So I love when there's some kind of resource that helps me dig deeper into myself and provides me some kind of a structure on understanding Scripture better. So this morning I had my small group and we practiced this and we all felt that following this method made the Lord's Prayer come to life for each one of us. And it became more personal as we journaled through the segments that we can later then use as a different type of prayer that follows the format. So I'm going to share with you Lori's understanding of the Lord's Prayer and the five elements, and then I'll close the message with the reading of the scripture for the first time. And then from that point on, anytime we're in our silent time, feel free to look at the little handout that you have. And those are the different elements that I'm going to be talking about now. And within each one are the questions that you can ask yourself and just be in time with God and journal about if you like. If you don't want to journal it, do it quietly to yourself, but it'll just kind of give you a framework to walk through the Lord's Prayer. And at the end, if say you're done with it, you can always just go through and repeat the prayer that you're kind of writing as a prayer in contact with Him in your silent time. Does that make sense? Okay. So imagine the 12 disciples having given up everything to follow Jesus, and they spent day and night with him. They lived alongside him, witnessing his miracles, watching his prayer life, and witnessing his relationship with his Father. Now take your imagination to the crowds of people that are drawn to Jesus. Listening and watching, they knew there was something different about him. They too witnessed and experienced healings and miracles. They gathered around him longing for more, and often they just really wanted to touch him. They chose him and they followed him, but they still wondered, how do we pray? So Jesus answers the 12 disciples when they asked him, and it was written in Luke. And then again, he answered the question in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. But this time, it's not just to the disciples, it was to the crowds during the Sermon on the Mount. So in each scenario, he provides this framework for the passage. It's not merely words to utter by memory, but instead a framework for connecting our heart and soul to the Father. He knew it wouldn't only be for the disciples or those crowds that were there. He knew that it's a question to last for all ages. He knew that we would want to know how to pray as well. So he planned well in advance to give us all what we needed to walk in relationship with him, to grow deeper in our faith, and to boldly approach the throne in prayer. So today we're going to dive into the Lord's Prayer to understand it more than just a set of memorized words, but learning the framework that Jesus provided. So God wants us to approach him with confidence and with boldness. And although he loves us to come to him with our prayers where we're just pouring our heart out, he also knows our confidence grows when we have both knowledge and practice. So the first element is praising. So Matthew 6, 9, pray like this, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." And you'll notice it's a little bit different than maybe what you're used to. It's from the New Living Translation, so it'll sound a little bit different. So we are to give God the honor and glory he's due. We begin by praising his name as all-powerful and mighty. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have you ever noticed that our first foot forward sets the tone for what's to come? Whether it's night out, time with your friends, moments with the family, our difficult but necessary conversation, how we step into it really matters. Stepping into any circumstance with a spirit of negativity, it usually lands us in a joyless and unproductive situation. However, when we step into a circumstance with a positive attitude, we usually have quite the opposite. It's a joy-filled and productive situation. So it's not any different with prayer. Prayer is this conversation with Jesus, and to start well, we need to start on the right foot. So praising God changes a negative spirit into one of gratitude and wonder. It releases our thoughts from focusing on the difficulties of life and places them on what is good. So it reminds us of the goodness of our God. So that's the first thing we do as we start off with praise. The second element then is yielding. From verse 10, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking Jesus to return soon is something that will help us be ready for when he returns for his church. Speaking this reveals a longing in our hearts to be with our Creator and to be in our true home. When we seek alignment with what God's will is, we're surrendering our will to his. We're committing to honor his ways. A true relationship with Christ, it means we place our trust and faith in him. It means we believe he knows what is best, and that even when we don't understand his will or our current situations and circumstances, we trust him to make a way. Often we hold on to our way thinking or doing, and we have a vision of how our life story should play out, and we desperately seek control of it. Often we force our way even when God is like closing or prolonging, opening up a door, and we still hang on to it. So it's hard to wait, and it's hard to let go of our version of a dream or our version of how life is supposed to be. But when we intentionally trade our vision and our version for his, we can watch what God does. That's when miracles have a chance and when God shows us how good he is at redemption and creating beauty out of the ashes of life. So that is the second element, it's yielding. The third element then is requesting. Give us today the food that we need, and that's from verse 11. We make our request to God, asking him for the things we need. We acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from him. He's our provider, and we thank him for meeting our day-to-day needs. It was interesting today, and last week when we were talking in my group this morning, so many, I would say half the group, doesn't think that they can pray for themselves, that their whole entire prayer life is spent praying for other people. And when I asked, well, what about praying for yourself? And they were like, they thought it was self-centered. And so they would hold off on praying for themselves. Okay, it's right here in the Bible. Give us today our daily bread, right? He's given us permission to ask for what we need. He expects us to do that. And as we were talking today, it was like, why do you think it's okay that we do ask for things that we need? Who is that benefiting besides ourselves? And they kindly got it. It's like when we're praying for the things we need so that, you know, we're not talking for huge wants and desires, just the daily things we need, then we're better able to help others, aren't we? So if we're being our best self, it's not self-centered, it's self-care. And as we do that better, we're better able to help others, and that's the kingdom work that he wants us to do. So how come we wouldn't ask for the things that we need to help us become the best self? Right? So it is okay, it is not selfish. Then the fourth element is confessing. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And that's from verse 12. This is an admittance that we fall short and we need his grace. Without a repentant heart, we might continue in our sin. It's important to ask the Lord to make us more like himself. We ask for forgiveness for our sins, which means we should also be merciful to others. Without confession, pride takes over. We are all humans living in a broken, fallen world. Thus, we're all sinners. Just remember, sin is missing the mark. That's all it is. Hitting the mark means we're loving to ourselves, loving to others, and loving to God. That's hitting the mark. So anything that's not those things is technically a sin, missing the mark. So we are all sinners. No one's off the hook for that. So sin separates us from God. Therefore, it's important to recognize when and where we sin. Finding the humility to admit we're wrong and in need of forgiveness takes strength. But the gift of that strength is receiving the glorious grace of Christ. It is for that reason he suffered and died on the cross for us. So just as God showers grace upon us when we sin, he asks us to model the same towards others, grace and forgiveness. So as an act of obedience to what Christ calls us to do, forgiveness sets us free. Here's the catch, though. We don't only forgive those who ask to be forgiven. We forgive those who sin against us. It isn't a pick and choose kind of thing, although how much I would like it to be like that. There's not an addition of, when they ask for forgiveness, that's the crazy thing about God's infinite grace. Although the act of confession and repentance removes sin from separating us from Christ, and it clears a path for a deeper walk in faith, it doesn't stop God from loving us through our stubborn pride. It doesn't matter how stubborn we are, how much we sin, doesn't change his love for us at all. Even when our pride gets in the way, he loves us just the same. He calls us his, he cherishes us. His arms wait wide open for in anticipation of us and us coming to him. It's just that without the confession, we aren't being real with him. And we're not being honest. So lack of honesty in any relationship gets in the way, doesn't it? And it doesn't dishonesty create a distance in our relationships with other people? It does with God as well. It separates us from him. So obedience is a part of our faith walk. Are we willing to surrender our pride and humble ourselves before him? If so, we'll become a witness to a relationship far deeper than we can ever fathom. So yes, we're to forgive those who sin against us, whether they've asked for that forgiveness or not, and we need to admit and repent of our own sins and acknowledgement of our need for his grace as well. And that keeps us walking from going back, walking down that path again, as long as we can continue to come forward with them and return to him. So that's the element number four. Then element five, and the last one, is protection. And this is from verse 13. It says, "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Safeguard us from attacks and protect us from evil. Free us from bondage and break the chains that hinder us from growing spiritually." We face the temptation of sin every day. Therefore, we need God's protection. If we get honest with ourselves, we recognize the areas in which we struggle most and need to ask God to protect us in those areas. We ask him to be our strength in resisting temptation and to protect us from Satan's power to fool us into thinking wrong is actually right, because sometimes it sounds really good, yet it's still wrong. So we ask for God's help and protection with that. Satan continues to tempt us because he knows that when we cave into sin, We are distracted then from our relationship with Christ. And he knows that. And then that gets us pulled away from our God-given purpose. So once he has us there, he renders us more ineffective, but for God. So thankfully, our God has won that war on sin and death, and our sins are never too big for his grace. So there's nothing his grace doesn't cover, nothing at all. So we repent, we stand back up, and we go forward with Christ as our protector. And then finally, we always remember that with him, all things are possible. So at the end of our service tonight, then, what you'll have before you as you go through the silent parts, working your way through these different elements, you're going to have a personal prayer with the framework of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. I was so surprised at, as I was doing mine, it felt each segment felt like its own little prayer, and then how it kind of flowed from one to the other when I was done, so that I could pray that and know I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, but it's my Lord's Prayer. So the hope today is that the Lord's Prayer is going to have a deeper meaning for you. And whether you pray the words that have come to you tonight, or if you pray the exact phrases of the Lord's Prayer. But now, going forward, you'll know more of the meanings of each one of those lines that you're saying. And that our hope is that it deepens your prayer life and also your relationship with Christ. And anyone that wants, like, an extra copy to take home with you, there should be plenty up there, and you can take an extra one. So our first reading tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and the first time read from verse 5, which is the lead into it. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. I like that part. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one.